Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are indeed back with the second installment of the Rad Thad Putback Podcast. I am your host, the one and only Rad Thad. You guys can find me on the Twitters at Rad_Thad1. It's been a while, but as promised, another installment, which will be much more regular. We're talking on a weekly basis from here on out. Throughout the rest of the NBA season, my buddies at GuruElite.com were generous enough to provide me a platform to discuss all things NBA DFS. Hopefully you can educate, inform, and entertain all at the same time. Speaking of my buddies at GuruElite.com, I decided to bring in the heavy hitter for this podcast to help kick off the second half of the NBA season. It's my brother from another mother, the man that needs no introduction, but I'm going to introduce him anyway, Mr. Jeff El Jefe Collins. Jeff, what's happening, buddy?
What's up, man? Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for this podcast to get going again just as a listener, you know? So really excited to be on this first one back here and get them rolling.
Yeah, man, I figure, you know, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, you know, I know that you've got a lot of podcast experience. I figure bring on a pro and, you know, get some tips from the master and see if I can, you know, take it to another level. So I appreciate you, you being on the podcast. Now, as you know, I'm a man of the people, but I'm also a company man. And in order to pay the bills, it takes some sponsors. Okay, I got a sponsor here. I like to use sponsors. My last sponsor was Whipass. I think you used them in the past as well. And I got a sponsor that I have used almost right after I started Daily Fantasy. And I think you use these guys as well, but I never spoke to you about it. Today's podcast is sponsored by Nunya Business Solutions. Are critics questioning your ability to profit as a DFS player or criticizing your level of proficiency in daily fantasy? NBS can help. Nunya Business Solutions have been around since the dawn of daily fantasy sports and is one of the market leaders when it comes to defending your reputation in DFS. Just enter the promo code FUSOB and you'll see instant results. When trolls insist on seeing proof of your success in DFS, tell them, none your business. None your business solutions. So, you know, I saw that, on Twitter that you said you didn't have any sponsors for the Velocity Report. So might be able to pass a good word in with these dudes and get you a couple of sponsors for the baseball season. So,
yeah, dude, get me in contact with that rep.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, glad that you are here for a couple of reasons. You know, I'm excited because we get to go back to the grind of NBA daily fantasy, but I am extra excited today. I don't know if you know this or not, but today is National Margarita Day.
What? I did not know that. That's going to change my day a ton.
Dude, I'm telling you, I had to rearrange stuff. It's going to be awesome. So I will certainly be doing my part to celebrate all things margarita.
Hey, can you cover the live stream for me today? Just, I've got an appointment I've just remembered.
Yeah, I figured that you might say that, so, you know.
Just kidding.
But, you know, that would be pretty interesting to have some margaritas on the live stream. It wouldn't be the first time.
No.
That, you know, that would go down, so, you know, there's a show, just kind of go off course. You know, things go off the rails when you and I get together pretty early. So we might as well just get to it right now. I don't know if you've seen this show on Comedy Central before. It's called Drunk History.
I've heard of it. I've seen like advertisements for it, but I've never sat down and watched an entire show.
It's absolutely hilarious. They basically get like these famous people. They get them totally lit and they have them tell these ridiculous historical facts or non-facts about different things in history. And long story short, it's hilarious. So maybe we could do our own little drunk DFS on the live stream. So, but since we're both coherent at the moment, I figured I'd have you on. And the All-Star break is a few hours away from ending. I wanted to pick your brain a little bit before we started the second half of the season. What did you think about the All-Star game?
I thought the All-Star game was one of the best that I've ever seen, you know, and I was one of the guys that was watching all of those old replays on NBA TV or whatever they were on, like the 80s All-Star games, the 90s All-Star games with all the greats. And I thought that this one ranked way up there with some of those better ones. So really love the new format of captains picking teams. Of course, I think they should televise it. I'm pretty sure they will televise it because there is so much demand. They were worried about hurting players' feelings that got picked last. But, I mean, that stuff leaked anyway. Horford and LaMarcus Aldridge were the last two picks. So like, if that was what you're worried about, like, that was a dumb reason to not have it on TV. But I think it'd be cool to just have it the day of. I think it was – I want to give credit where it was due. Reggie Miller, maybe the only smart thing he's ever said, suggested it, that you just have it on the court and, you know, line everyone up and – pick them that way, right? Hand them their jersey right there on the court. And I think that'd be a ton of fun. So I'm a really big fan of the new format.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome. You know, I'm shocked to hear that Reggie Miller said that. I mean,
I'm a big fan.
You know, so everybody knows that. So, and I think I've told you this once before already. You know, I'm not very fond of people wishing for injuries or being happy when guys get injured. But I have to admit, there have been a couple of times where I wished like instant brain death on Reggie Miller on the court when he's playing.
Oh my God.
You know, if I see the that dude in real life.
That doesn't sound like you, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's like that. As a Knicks, being a Knicks fan, when you put that Knicks jersey on, when I put that Kristaps jersey on, I'm a different dude, man. I'm telling you, I'll cut Reggie Miller, dude. I'm telling you.
You just picture him with his hands around his neck,
yeah,
making it.
Yeah, and I just transform those hands, his hands, into my hands. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. The dude, I like him. I like him now. I'm gonna give him some credit. I like him now, but the old me might spring its ugly head if I see him in person. So I'm shocked to hear that he actually came up with that. So
I don't know. It was one of those guys. I don't want to give him too much credit because I haven't heard him say anything smart before. So that would be the only time. But
yeah, I haven't heard anything either. So, but yeah, I thought the All-Star game was awesome, dude. It was great. I'm still not ready to put it up there with, like, you know, the Magic Johnson, you know, or, you know, Michael Jordan days and stuff, but it was really good. So I did like it. I think I told you once before that one thing I wanted to see added was like maybe a new competition, like the big man 3-point competition, since there's so many, you know, big men shooting threes now. I think that'd be pretty cool. If you were like 6'10 and above, you know, just to kind of add a little spice to it. But I thought it was cool. The slam dunk contest was off the chain.
I actually didn't see that, man. I saw the 3-point competition and then I headed out for the night to the bars and was trying to track who was doing well and see replays of the dunks via Twitter and everything. But I didn't actually catch that on TV. It was good.
Yeah, it was awesome, dude. I mean, it was good. Larry Nance threw on his old man's – or Larry Nance Jr. threw on his old man's jersey and did the repeat, like the windmill dunk. And, like, someone on Twitter posted it side by side. I mean, it looks identical. Every motion, every gesture. It was good, man. It was real good, so – But so next year I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully the momentum from this year's All-Star game will carry over into the second half of the season. So, and in terms of DFS, I personally do my best in the second half of the season. You know, it's kind of when I hit my stride. I think part of that is because I use the All-Star break to regroup and to come out the gate running. So, you know, I put up a write-up on the website about some things that guys can do in the All-Star break. I would ask you what you did during the All-Star break, but it seems as though you've been pretty busy, man. I saw the first installment that you put up yesterday on the how to take advantage of every matchup in the NBA. First part of a 3-part series. I'll let you talk about that for a minute. First of all, I thought it was fantastic. So, I mean, fantasy gold. So if you guys haven't read it yet, I highly recommend it. Certainly something I'm going to incorporate into my process, but give us an idea of what you were trying to do and what we can expect from the rest of the segments.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll take a trip on the All-Star break, head down to the tournament, the golf tournament at Riviera is something I usually do. You know, it usually falls along Valentine's Day also. But for whatever reason, I just didn't end up doing anything this break and found myself with a decent amount of free time. So I decided to update all my spreadsheets with, new data and stats and try to figure out which of the stats were most relevant, backtesting scene, which are most predictive and that sort of thing. As I'm like compiling all this data, I was like, man, I should just put some of this data in an article, right? Like I should get it out there for our subscribers to read. I've got some free time anyway. I thought, you know, it's probably gonna take 4 or 5 hours to get everything all together in an article and it'll be worth it, but it ended up taking a lot longer than that. My whole break ended up being compiling these spreadsheets and then transferring data over into article form to get this information out. But end result is what I think is a really helpful, useful article for people. The first part is out right now, broke down the toughest defenses in the NBA, how you attack them with DFS players, which positions to use against them, which types of players at those positions, who benefits the most when certain guys sit, that sort of thing, which, you know, we go through in our shows and our articles and touch on them as they come up, but there's nothing really out there anywhere that I know of that just has it for you to reference at any point that you want. So I just wanted something that people could refer back to.
Yeah, I think you did a fantastic job. You know, like I said, it's something that I'm going to incorporate into my daily process. And, you know, I try to tell people all the time that just, you don't really have to make big changes in your process to see big results. Just tweak it a little bit and you'd be surprised. I think this is something that if people, you know, pay more attention to, you know, it can maybe help them make one or two changes that can show them a lot of success. So definitely appreciate you putting in some hard work on that. What are your thoughts on the first part of the season as far as DFS? You know, last year it seemed like it's like a big difference between last year and this year. This year it's kind of tough, I'm not gonna lie. You know, last year was, I don't want to say it was like easy, but it was easy. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I had like my best season in NBA DFS, and that's saying a lot. So this year has been a little harder. Am I alone in that sentiment? What are your thoughts?
You know, you're probably talking to the right guy, because this is the first year that I haven't qualified for a FanDuel basketball live final. So I'm looking at it going, oh man, that first half of the season was tough. But in actuality, I ended up tying for first place in one of the queues and lost the tiebreaker, which was super frustrating. I think that for the most part, I'm still playing really well, right? Still building really good lineups. When you're so queue heavy, you're dealing with a lot of variance. And I can't keep telling people, subscribers, to, hey, you need to suck it up if you're playing queues and GPPs and accept the variance and then not do it myself. So I'm trying not to be too disappointed about the FanDuel queue. Overall, I gave myself some really good chances and, you know, made some money along the way there, but really looking forward to the second half, especially these next couple weeks here, throwing a little bit of money at that DraftKings qualifier, a little bit higher ticket value there. Not sure if I'm going to be able to make that live final, but would be pretty sick. I know you made a live final this year, so you're repping all of us.
Yeah, man. I was pretty psyched about the King of San Antonio. That went really well. So ended up taking second in that. So, you know, I'm of the frame of mind where I'm always just happy to be there. You know, the for me, the trip is the prize, because, you know, you never really know when it's going to be your last one. So it's always exciting. Had an awesome time. Met some really cool dudes. So it was cool. I'm certainly going to try to make it to DK. I do not own a pair of big boy pants. So expensive ones. I can't do it, dude. I cannot do it unless I have a ticket. Like if I get a cheap ticket to the qualifier, otherwise, you know, I just have to pass, because it just gets so expensive and you end up just in a deep hole. And I certainly learned my lesson. So, I mean, you know, live finals are awesome, but they ain't that awesome. Yeah. You know, I want to play baseball and all that other stuff too. So that's definitely, I assume that's one of your goals for the second half of the season for NBA.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I'm with you, though. It's always tempting when you see these $700 queues and stuff, which is what DK runs most of the time. which is why I'm mainly on FanDuel playing theirs. But yeah, I don't have my big boy pants either. Sometimes I do, but for the most part, I'm trying to stay away from those and play the smaller ones, you know, try to enter maybe like 3 to 5 lineups in the $33 one or two and $100, that sort of thing. But it gets up to $600, $700, I'm like, maybe I'll try to satellite into that. The one that's really tempting is they've got like a one of those mega super Qs or whatever. It's like a $5,000 entry.
Yeah.
So it'd be really good to satellite into that, right? So we'll see if I can make it to that one.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I thought about trying on my old school big boy pants and throw one into that. But, man, they're tight, bro. They cut off circulation to my bankroll. So they don't fit. Tried cutting them up like some Daisy Dukes. Didn't work, dude. So and it's like it's you convince yourself, like for the FanDuel ones, they had those ones that were like 1600 or whatever. Or you're going up against like 20 people, and you say, man, I could beat 20 dudes.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always work out that way. So that's a lot of money, man. You know.
Yeah, 19 other people think they can beat, you know, 20 dudes too. So.
Yeah, it's not that easy. So
people always think about the best case scenario. They're like, oh man, that's a 1 in 20 shot that I'm gonna win. Well, it's a 19 in 20 shot you're not gonna win. So
exactly
look at it that way.
And, and you're like throwing out rent. I mean, it's like, you know, a car payment. Yeah. So you know, so I don't know, man. I look at it, but at the same time, I you know, I gotta have it together in order to really jump in there. So we'll see. We'll see. I think for me personally, I got to try to get back to basics. You know, I let my inner degenerate take over too much this first half of the season. Cause I used to be like telling people, you know, be disciplined and don't play the garbage slates. Don't play the slates that there's no edge. And then I look back cause I take notes on everything. And I look back and I played like every degenerate slate, man. So, you know, and I didn't win any of them. So, you know, that cuts into any sort of profit you may make on the sweet slates. You know, so especially this year, last year was a little easier because it was, I don't want to say it was like printing money, but it was pretty close. It was good. This year, not so much. So I got to be a little more frugal, hashtag frugal mafia. So I'll be a little more disciplined on that. In terms of any bold predictions for the second half of the year, anything stand out to you?
Bold predictions. I don't know if I have anything super bold. I do think that what's interesting is that the races are so close, right? You've got a good chunk of teams in the West that look like they are going to give the Warriors a hard time, you know, and maybe it's even unfair to sum it all up to the Warriors and how things fit against them when the Rockets are the team actually leading the Western Conference in the standings, right? So Warriors still certainly the favorites big time, but I'm really curious to see what happens with the Rockets the second half, with the Thunder really starting to gel with some of these other teams. And then, of course, on the East, you've got the Cavs who made those big trades and completely changed their roster. We'll see what happens if they're able to ride that adrenaline wave that they've been riding, that they rode into the break, and see if they can really become the favorites in the East. In my opinion, they're not, but I think Vegas odds have them as the favorites in the East right now. But Toronto and Boston also look pretty good too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to let you guys out there in that are listening in on a little secret. This is just to show you guys how much of a stand-up guy Jeff Collins is. Okay, we actually did this podcast once before yesterday, and the audio just completely crapped. So he knows what my bold prediction is, and he still agreed to come on and redo the podcast. So my bold prediction is that the Golden State Warriors will not come away with the championship this season. Now, granted, this has absolutely nothing to do with any hate for Golden State. I'm as big of a Golden State Warriors fan as anyone else. I love Steph Curry. I live just outside of Charlotte, right down the road from Davidson, where Steph Curry went to school. You know, this is Steph Curry territory. The dude cannot drop a deuce without these people having a pep rally. All right. So trust me, I get the Steph Curry. I get it. But, you know, I'm feeling a little, it's time for the East to rise, man. I think the Toronto Raptors are looking pretty nasty, good. Nobody's talking about them. You know, LeBron's hogging all the attention, and these dudes have been rolling. I mean, they've been beating dudes by, you know, no less than a margin of 15 points on their current 8-game win streak, with the exception of maybe one game was close. They got a deep bench. They got guys that, you know, fit the bill when given enough time. As long as they can stay healthy, I got my eyes on Toronto. There's still a lot of basketball left, so we'll see. But, you know. But
yeah, they look good to me. I think no one gives them any credit. People see them flop in the playoffs. They've disappointed before, so they're just like, oh, same old Toronto. But you're right, that bench is much better. DeRozan is a completely different player this year. Toronto is third in differential this year behind the Warriors and Houston. They're top five in both efficiency on offense and defense, points per possession. It is really hard to not like the Raptors this year. So I'm higher on the Raptors than most, and I'm right there with you up until the point of you saying they're going to win the championship. This team has no chance against the Warriors.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you. We'll see. We'll see. I'm going to have to – something. Things happen. Things have a way of happening, and it's stuff that people just never can really predict. It's just weird stuff, you know. So I get it with the whole injury thing. You know, Kyle Lowry is a dude who – he always finds some way to get injured with some weird thing. So that can certainly happen. I think as far as daily fantasy implications, you know, you certainly want to pay attention to the teams that are vying for – a spot in the playoffs, as well as jockeying for position in the playoffs. These dudes tend to tighten their rotations. So, you know, it's going to get good real soon. You know, so I think the playoffs, the last day of the regular season is April 11th, which is going to come a lot closer than people realize. So what about the immediate future in terms of coming right out of the gate for the, you know, post NBA All-Star break? Any recommendations for anybody out there, you know, who may have been struggling a little bit, kind of want to get a little bit of an edge right off the bat?
Yeah, so one thing that I would keep an eye on in the second half that I always keep an eye on is how the rookies respond to the break and really just the second half in general. I think that the rookie wall is a big thing. Some players you're going to see really struggle having playing this many games, this many minutes for some of them. Is something that is their body is not used to, right? So keep an eye on guys like Ben Simmons. If he regresses a little bit, keep an eye on Donovan Mitchell. I'm a huge fan of Donovan Mitchell, but he's playing a ton of minutes. And the second half of the year, I'm going to keep an eye on making sure his efficiency is staying up, all that kind of stuff. And then also on the flip side, there are other guys that didn't get much playing time early in the year that didn't look very good, but are improving. These are all super young guys, and they're going to be improving. So we have to keep in mind that their improvement rate is going to be a lot more accelerated than some veteran that's been in the league for a while. So a guy like Josh Jackson comes to mind that I wasn't super impressed with at the beginning of the year. And sure enough, when Devin Booker goes out for that stretch, the guy just totally blossoms into a guy that looks like he has a ton of potential and could be really valuable in DFS. So keep an eye out for guys like that, that are really improving their numbers from the beginning of the year. Don't keep the same biases that you had in October and November.
Yeah. I think one thing to remember with rookies is that, you know, not all rookies blossom at the same time. Mm-hmm. You know, whoever would have thought that Donovan Mitchell, I mean, the dude's a phenomenal basketball player. Whoever thought that he was like, would be the front runner for rookie of the year, you know, I didn't, you know, and
I did,
you know, so, but you're smart, man. I'm not a smart dude. You know, I repeat what smart people say. So I seem smart, but you're actually smart. So, you know, so I'm shocked. So I'm not shocked, but you know, still pleasantly surprised, you know, but other guys, like you said, Josh Jackson, another dude, Snoop Boggy Bog, dude, Bogdan Bogdanovich. Starting to come into his own, you know, especially toward the end of the first half of the season. And the dude took like the MVP honors in the US versus the world or whatever they're calling it these days. So definitely somebody you want to keep an eye out. I think there are a bunch of guys that are coming back from injury or who were coming back from injury that now that the All-Star break is done, you can expect them to kind of hop back into their usual role. And these dudes have been off the map for a long time. You know, and it's like tomorrow, you know, we got Aaron Gordon's been out for a while. Nikolai Vucevic has been out for like 24 games. That's the dude I really want to have in my lineups, you know, especially in a tournament. The guy's got 50-point upside in the upcoming matchup, has been having a career year up until the point where he got hurt. You know, people forgot about Lonzo Ball. You know, unfortunately, you know, I had Kawhi Leonard on my sneaky do not sleep on lists, but, you know, Pop came out and said he'd be surprised if Kawhi plays this season, which I don't even know what to make out of that. I'm just kind of sad. But, you know, at the same time, you gotta have to make a pivot. So a lot of interesting ways to go right out the gate. Don't be afraid to, you know, don't be scared right off the gate because, you know, that's where you can have a good bit of edge. Another thing is to let go of that recency bias. You know, I told you, I'm from New Orleans. I will be checking the weather forecast for home games at New Orleans. You know, the indoor rain is an issue there. So, but at the same time, you know, you just got to let it go, man, and just have some faith in these dudes like Anthony Davis. Right before the All-Star break, the dude left the game, and Twitter exploded with, is Anthony Davis hurt? Yep. Oh, this, I could have predicted that. The dude came back and absolutely torched it. So guys like that, you know, any guy that's got 100 fantasy point potential, I'm more than happy to roster, and I'll just suffer the consequences if for some reason he slips on the juice box at halftime or whatever. So, you know, you just kind of when that dust cloud comes, a lot of people will run away. You kind of have to run toward it. So it's kind of my zig when everybody else zags.
People have DFS backwards. They don't get it. You know, like when we dealt with this with Ricky Rubio earlier in the year, where subscribers are frustrated about some disappointing performances for him. And, you know, DFS in general felt like everyone was like, oh, I'm never going to play Ricky Rubio again. Well, it's the perfect time to play Ricky Rubio then. When everyone else is saying, I don't want to play this guy, and the guy, there's no reason why he shouldn't continue to be a good play, right? His point per minutes are good, minutes are good, all that kind of stuff. He's fine. That everyone missed out on that month long where he just tore up at super low ownership at 5K on FanDuel, putting up 30, 35, 40 FanDuel points a game. So people just, you know, one simple strategy in tournaments, one simple mindset that they need to have is to, you know, like you said, run towards the problems. Everyone, whenever else is running away, you run towards that, and you're going to be set up for a lot more success, I think.
Yeah, and because the way that I see it, a lot of times, you know, and I get upset about late scratches and late news coming out and this and that, but a lot of times the best thing to do is absolutely nothing. You know, you kind of – one strategy that I use in DFS is to let other people make the mistakes. You know, if you have someone that you feel strongly about, just because other people don't feel strongly about them, you know, that's your opportunity to take the reins. You know, if I mention somebody in an article or a cheat sheet or whatever, and you say to yourself, hey, this dude didn't mention Steven Adams, you know, that's your opportunity to take the chair. And when I'm not looking, you hit me over the back of the head. That's what you're supposed to do. Okay, cold-blooded assassins do that, and that's what I want to see. So, because I guarantee you, if that happens, I'm going to hit you. So, you know, we're all family, but somebody's got to be, you know, king of the hill. So, I think it's something that's really hard to do in terms of recency bias, but I think once, regardless of the sport, once you can get over it, you know, you'll – have a built-in edge over the competition. So I think that's something that we need to stress throughout the rest of the season. So, I think the having you guys on is going to work out really well. I'll cycle through the rest of the game at Guru Elite, pick you guys' brains. We'll try to educate everyone. And take some questions over the week or so through the Twitters and answer a few things, a few question answer. I got a couple of secret guests that I have in mind that I think you guys are going to like. I do appreciate my man El Jefe coming on and helping me out. I got the cool intro music. I got the cool name. I got sponsors. I do not have a catchphrase. I don't have a catchphrase, man. What's your catchphrase? Do awesome things.
Do awesome things. Yeah, you know, I stole that from someone.
Dude, that has Jeff Collins written all over it. You know, that's just like Tommy saying, you know, let's get weird, or, you know, stay cashing. So I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, I talk about Kool-Aid a lot. You know, maybe I should say, oh yeah. You know, I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I'll come up with something cool. So
yeah, dude. I mean, you are like the king of catchphrase type stuff anyway. So I think that you're going to be able to figure it out.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I'll try a few things out. I'll see what sticks, you know, so work in progress as always. So, but I appreciate you coming on, my friend. So I think that is going to wrap up the second installment of the Rad That Putback podcast. Like I said before, hit me up on the Twitters at @rad_thad1. Jeff, where can everyone find you on Twitter?
At Jeff K. Collins, but good luck following me. It's a mess. I am not a good follow on Twitter.
Dude, I've been like secretly checking out your stuff. I don't know what's going on there. It's pretty entertaining. It's pretty entertaining. So if you guys want to follow Jeff just for the entertainment value, I mean, it's free. So, you know, you're certainly going to get your money's worth. So, but I highly recommend you give my buddy Jeff a follow. So until next time, I would say do awesome things, but a smart dude already took that. So, all right. See you guys later.
Peace.